Good morning and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Welcome here on this, well, it's supposed to get really lovely this afternoon. So on this lovely Thanksgiving day, I invite everybody in the foyer to come on in and join us so we can, well, we're going to start singing with or without you, but come and join us because this is where the action is happening. And my name is Jeff Wishart, and along with Audrey and DM, we're going to be leading singing this morning, and we welcome you here on this Thanksgiving. We're going to start with a rousing one. I invite you to stand up. In the song book, it's called Cantai ao Senhor. It's Portuguese, but we're only going to sing the English this morning. So we're going to sing five verses in English, O Sing to the Lord. Stay standing for the next one, which is a more traditional Thanksgiving song. Great is thy faithfulness. And remind me the number again? 419. 419 if you're using the hymnals, otherwise it's just right up there. Please be seated.
What a wonderful way to start this Thanksgiving Sunday. Good morning and welcome to Toronto United Mennonite Church on this Thanksgiving Sunday. For those of you who don't know, my name is Bob Lowen, and I'm leading this service today. We are a welcoming church in the Anabaptist tradition, working to be followers of Jesus. We welcome you no matter where you are in your faith journey, your sexual understanding of yourself, whether you're carrying sorrow, doubt, or joy. You are welcome. If you are here in person, as the people I'm looking at are, or online, we welcome you with the peace of Christ and with gratitude that we can worship together. Do we have visitors with us today, in person or online? A mic will be brought up by one of our ushers. We need a mic up here. So two people up here.
My mom Mary is visiting from Chatham for the weekend.
Welcome.
Where's it at?
I'm very grateful this Thanksgiving weekend that my 94-year-old mother decided to come. She's not here today. She's at another church. no. And because she decided to come from Kelowna, my two sisters from Kelowna and their spouses also came. And so out of possible 37 people among my siblings and their children and grandchildren, we had 32 together for Thanksgiving dinner, and it was a lovely, kind of impromptu family reunion. And I did bring two of them with me today, so my sister Lorianne is here and her husband Keith from Kelowna.
Welcome here. What a wonderful gathering. Any others? Do we have anyone online? All right. Let's take a moment now to greet each other on this wonderful day. I guess context is everything, but this always feels like holy noise to me. So thank you for making that joyful noise, greeting each other. While I believe it is always wonderful to hear a land acknowledgement, today it seems especially appropriate to express thanks for the privilege of sharing this land that we worship on and where we live. The land where Toronto United Mennonite Church meets has a long history. Since time immemorial, Indigenous nations have known and loved the North Shore of Lake Ontario. The land has held the stories and hopes of groups including the Haudenosaunee, the Wyandot, and the Anishinaabeg. As a Christian church composed of people of many nations, ancestries, and stories, we acknowledge that we have benefited from the breaking of promises and the theft of land. I'm also reminded as we sing older hymns, it would be interesting to look at the dates. A colleague of mine made a land acknowledgement before Magic Flute, composed in 1791, premiered in 1791. While that was going on in Vienna, she said, we were at the peak of colonization. And I think that would be an interesting exercise as I think about this day and the hymns that we sing and the reflection that they have of people who didn't see it as colonization, but it's part of our story. We are learning the history of these lands and are committed to being part of a future where Indigenous sovereignty is honored. We seek to be good neighbors along with all those who love this land. In planning this Thanksgiving service, I experienced challenges. This is hard for me to admit. I don't usually feel in planning a service. In thinking of our series on Galatians, continued with Marika Meyer speaking on the gift of gentleness, I reviewed the various gifts we have focused on. The fruits of the Spirit named in Galatians are love, joy, peace and patience, kindness and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. All seem to be attitudes that the Holy Spirit instills in us. For me, thanks to the many conversations I have with friends of different faiths and perspectives, the Holy Spirit shifts our attitude toward living out these gifts of the Spirit, and in turn shifts my attitude to the practice of gratitude. Today's message of gentleness seems appropriate in a world of turmoil. Before I just mention a few announcements, it's important for me to mention that we no longer have an accessible washroom on the main floor. Please use the accessible washrooms in the basement. There are both stairs, which kind of negates accessibility, and there's an elevator that you can use. But the door here on the main floor is no longer functioning. Dennis asked me to mention parking on this street. There was a parking authority officer going up and down the street. Neighbors have complained about our parking on the street, especially on the non-parking side. So just be aware of doing that, and there may be a friendly, not so friendly ticket. And we do have a parking lot around the corner. I do want to highlight an important congregational meeting on October 26th. And this also includes, so after the church service, includes a youth fundraiser lunch. And on the slide, there are two important youth dates. One is for the youth, and the other is the first one up there is ages 4 to 14 at Danforth Mennonite. And I think other announcements come for the week after, so we'll let those let you read those online. Let's turn now to our call to worship, which you'll see on the screen. This is Psalm 100. We've already heard hints of the psalms in our hymns. Another psalm, more psalms coming up, and the children will hear about it. I'll read the light, and if you could read the dark. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before him with shouts of joy.
Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture.
Enter his gates with thanks. Enter his courtyards with praise. Thank him. Bless his name.
Because the Lord is good, his loyal love lasts forever.
His faithfulness lasts generation after generation.
Song number 117, if you happen to be looking in the book. Otherwise, it'll be up on the screen. We give thanks unto you, 117. Pardon me? It says, yes, Audrey just reminded me. It says, leader, and then all, We're not going to do that. You just sing everything. Yep. That's the way we usually do it anyways. But I don't want to be singing a solo up here. So just join me for all.
Reading Psalm 37 today. As you listen to Psalm 37, consider where your heart is today and where the psalmist invites us to be. Don't get upset over evildoers. Don't be jealous of those who do wrong, because they will fade fast like grass. They will wither like green vegetables. Trust the Lord and do good. Live in the land and farm faithfulness. Enjoy the Lord and he will give what your heart asks. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. He will act and will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like high noon. Be still before the Lord and wait for him. Don't get upset when someone gets ahead. Someone who invents evil schemes. Let go of anger and leave rage behind. Don't get upset, it will only lead to evil, because evildoers will be eliminated. But those who hope in the Lord, they will possess the land.
Number 374, another familiar one. There are many gifts. And I invite you to stand for this one.
Praise.
Please be seated.
All Paul, all the time. It's great to hear the words from Corinthians and have heard more about Galatians. This is a time of giving, recognizing our giving with gratitude. Each Sunday, we acknowledge those who give in many ways to our church and to the community around us. We actually hear about the fruits of the Spirit in our service to each other and to others. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control all are evident in all of our giving and working for each other and others. I'm grateful to those who have given their gifts in preparation for the service. And the first thing I noticed this morning, and my first gratitude, was the beautiful decor that we have, and I presume that is the Lepp family. It's really quite breathtaking when you walk in. And I thank Marika for her leadership today, Audrey, Jeff, and DM, Jason on tech, and Ben Thiessen online, and later, just after this, we'll hear from Peter Hairsnape. In our prayers and praise, we share each of these gifts mutually with those around us. We also give through our donations to the church. If you would like to give offerings electronically, this can be done at treasurer@tumsey.ca, or there's a box at the back between the doors. Peter Hairsnape will lead us in congregational prayer. It's time now for the children to come up. If we have children who are here, that would be great. It would be great if you came up. Oh, there's somebody else. We're holding a spot. Good morning to each of you. I always have questions, and the first one is kind of obvious. Do you know what we are celebrating this weekend?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. I think we should say it as a group. What are we celebrating this weekend?
Thanksgiving.
Yes. And what does it mean to be thankful? This, I hope lots of you have it.
What are you thankful
for? For my hair.
That's awesome hair. Anyone else? What are you thankful for?
My life.
Your life. That's a good thing to be thankful for. Anyone else? I'm sure all of us are thankful. Because that's how kind of how we learn what thankfulness is, by feeling it. I know what I'm thankful for. There are lots of things. I try to think of them every day, and I kind of have a list that I want to create in my mind at the end of the day. But I'm always, this weekend, really thankful for my family, for this group of friends, and I've done this before, so I'll do it again because it's what I believe. I'm thankful for our hymn book. And why am I thankful for a hymn book? Any thoughts?
I forgot.
You forgot. I'm thankful for a hymn book because I sing, but I'm thankful for hymn books because the Bible tells us, and the Psalms especially, every time we sing, we pray. And the person who shared this with me and who I love dearly said it doesn't really even matter what we sing. God hears our voice, and God hears our prayer. That's a really powerful thing for me. So.
My necklace has a cross.
That's a beautiful cross. So I tried to have hymns this morning that we would all like to sing at some point. So I'm grateful for all of you that we get to see you at the front of the church. And I'm grateful that we are a church where children are welcome. And that when I hear children running into the church and at the end making noise, it sounds like God's Spirit is at work here. So let's just have a short prayer. I think there's activity period. It was listed. Yes, there's a thumbs up, I see. Loving God, thank you for each of these children on this day and always. Amen.
Well, we're going to have them join in for this next song. Okay. So we get to make some more joyful noise, in addition to the ones the boss has mentioned. So I'd like each of you to get something out of here and be ready to shake.
My dad is doing activities here.
You're awesome. Looks like you got some favorites there. Awesome. Now, this one you definitely got to stand up for. You'll get to watch the kids because they'll be on screen, and you'll definitely hear them. May you be rooted and grounded in love. Not technically a new song for us. We have sung it before, but probably not familiar. So Audrey's going to play through it once. You won't see the words for what she's playing up there, because the slides won't start yet until I bring you in. But just kind of close your eyes and start grooving with this one, because you got to feel it in your bones. So Audrey's going to play through the verse and the chorus, and then we'll come in on the chorus. May you be rooted and grounded in love. Children, you may be seated, and you can head to activity period.
and singing also brings smiles. I'll be reading from Galatians 5, verse 1, 13 to 36. Or 26, I think. Yes, there aren't 36 verses, so typo. Christ has set us free for freedom. Therefore, stand firm and don't submit to the bondage of slavery again. Starting from verse 13, you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge your selfish impulses, but serve each other through love. All the law has been fulfilled in a single statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, be careful that you don't get eaten up by each other. I say, be guided by the Spirit, and you won't carry out your selfish desires. A person's selfish desires are set against the Spirit, and the Spirit is set against one's selfish desires. They are opposed to each other, so you shouldn't do whatever you want to do. But if you are being led by the Spirit, you aren't under the law. The actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious, since they include sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use and casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, competitive opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. I warn you, as I have already warned you, that those who do these kinds of things won't inherit God's kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Let's not become arrogant, make each other angry, or be jealous of each other.
Good morning, I'm Marika Mayer, and this is the first time since I was a teenager that I've been asked to give a sermon. And I think I was more sure of it then than I am now. But here I am anyway. I am humbled and awed to be asked and excited to be here today to share some reflections on Galatians 5. I have suffered from anxiety my whole life. I didn't know it had a name until someone close to me was diagnosed, and then it dawned on me. Oh, that's what I have. It's been a struggle, but giving it a name has given it shape and meaning, so that instead of being a scary amorphous blob, it's something that's just as much a part of me as the need to wear glasses or be tall. I did, and I do, a lot of work to try and manage it, but it still creeps in with regularity, and sometimes when I least expect it. I used to beat myself up over it. I still do, if I'm honest. I wouldn't get why I could say all these prayers, read the poetry, do the meditation, have the conversations, and still there it was. I hate this, I once said. I don't want it, and I want it to go away. Why couldn't I simply remember all the things I have been taught to make that awful feeling go away? And I'd find that I'd need to learn the lessons all over again. Sigh. But this is not a sermon about anxiety. It's a reminder that we already know what's good and true. We just need to learn and relearn it to deal with life itself. Galatians is a reminder of what we know to be true, that Jesus gave us a clear and yet mysterious portrait of how to be in this world, how to make it better, how to make other people's lives better, and yes, how to make our own lives better. And if we know this, shouldn't that be enough? But if that were the case, why would we feel the need to say, "I love you," to our partners, our children, or anyone we love over and over? Or tell our children they did a good job when they complete a task. We said it once, didn't we? Isn't that enough? Reading Galatians, I can hear Paul's frustration. Come on, guys, we've talked about this. Many of you were there. Don't you remember? Why do I need to keep on reminding you? The passage we're looking at in depth today is Galatians 5. The beautiful fruits of the Spirit are in this passage, and I do want to talk in particular about gentleness, but I'd also like to zoom in on freedom and the love and love that we have for each other. Freedom is such a glorious concept, isn't it? Don't we all long to be free in body, mind, and spirit? Paul tells us, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So what does Paul mean by freedom? From what are we being set free? What should we do with that freedom? Martin Luther wrote about this very passage and talks about three particular kinds of freedoms. The first he writes is political freedom, and it's what allows us to come here to church this morning without fear of being attacked or stopped by a law. But that's not the freedom that Paul is talking about, or else why wouldn't Jesus have just set the Jews free from the Romans? The second freedom Luther calls freedom from the flesh. There might be many hundreds of years between Luther's time and ours, but I think we can recognize what it means, the freedom to indulge in anything that feels good, no matter the cost. Go ahead, drink, take drugs, have sex, spend your time lounging around, if that feels good, no matter what it does to you or to the people who love you, because it will affect you and those you love, and could very well destroy your life. This type of freedom is also not the kind of freedom that Jesus sought to bring us. Which brings us to Luther's third sort of freedom, spiritual freedom. Listen to what Martin Luther says. "Christ has set us free, not for a political freedom or a freedom of the flesh, but for a theological or spiritual freedom, that is, to make our conscience free and joyful, unafraid of the wrath to come. This is the most genuine freedom. It is immeasurable. When the other kinds of freedoms are compared with the greatness and the glory of this kind of freedom, they hardly amount to one little drop. For who can express what the great gift is for someone to be able to declare for certain that God neither is nor ever will be wrathful, but will forever be gracious and merciful to you? Therefore, the freedom by which we are free of the wrath of God forever is greater than heaven and earth and all creation." End of quote. This is surely the kind of freedom that Paul is talking about. Freedom from fear of death and judgment. Freedom for having to follow a particular set of laws in order to measure up. Freedom to know that we are loved just because we exist. In fact, he writes, the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I love that, and I try to put it into practice every day, both loving my neighbor and loving myself, because surely they're intertwined. Well, I do, except for that annoying, bossy neighbor who never picks up after her dog and never has a kind word for everyone. Oh, and then that rude guy who practically ran me over in the crosswalk. Yeah, that was really annoying. And there's my boss who used to drive me crazy with her nitpicking. Not to mention the times when I put myself down for any number of things where I feel like I don't measure up. You get what I mean? It's hard. And I do need to be reminded over and over. And that leads me to the awareness that all these fruits are not just meant for me to be a good person, although they are that, but they're also about how we care for other people. It's not just about me feeling, acting, and reacting, but it's how I treat others. Even a quick glance at Paul's list, and we've already heard it a couple of times this morning: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're about dealing with other people. Do we love others? Are we at peace with others? Are we patient, gentle, good, and kind in our relationships with others? For me, that's the problem with the so-called New Age movement. It's all about finding peace, tranquility, joy, and contentment for ourselves. Whereas Jesus and Paul tell us that true peace and love must be seen in how we deal with the people around us. And this is clear in verse 15 when Paul writes, "If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." Clearly, Paul is concerned about how the believers in Galatia were treating one another. They were fighting with each other and therefore were not loving and at peace. Paul concludes the discussion with the same idea. He tells the Galatians in verse 26, "Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." I've been thinking about this very basic concept of loving our neighbor and what it means in how we treat other people. We've all heard it. We all know it. It's not just in the here and now moment, though. It's way bigger than that, and it gets hard really fast. We were on vacation this summer. Let me have a drink of water. We were on vacation this summer in Amsterdam, and one of the places we went to was the Van Gogh Museum. Although I can't help it, being Dutch, I have to call him Vincent van Gogh. We all know that Vincent was a brilliant, tortured artist who painted sunflowers, fields of wheat, ordinary people. And he ended up dying by his own hand. But there is so much that we can learn from his story, his life, and the people around him that goes beyond that bare-bones story. I learned about kindness, goodness, patience, all described as fruits of the Spirit. Let me remind you a little bit about Vincent. He was the son of a pastor. He grew up in a pretty well-to-do family with six children. He didn't show a lot of artistic promise as a boy, and he didn't much like school either. Through the help of an uncle, he got a job as an art dealer, but he didn't do very well at that, and he was fired. Then he thought teaching might be the ticket, and he found a job as an unpaid assistant at a boys' boarding school, but he didn't like it much, so his father said, "Just come home." Then his uncle got him a job at a bookstore, but that didn't work out. Another uncle, knowing of his faith, suggested he try theology school. But after a year, that same uncle said, "I think you should give it up." So he thought, "Well, maybe I can be a lay pastor to coal miners." And he enjoyed that, but his contract wasn't renewed. What a loser, am I right? He's 27 years old by now. And what did he have to show for it? Throughout this time, he wrote letters to his younger brother, Theo. He always included little sketches and small drawings in them. And one time Theo wrote to him, "I love your sketches. Why don't you pursue art?" Vincent considered that he might serve God through art, and he moved to Brussels, where he met artists and began to seriously work on his craft. For the next 10 years, he never sold one painting. And yet, his brother Theo supported him materially, financially, emotionally, in every single way, for 10 years. His parents weren't quite as supportive, but nevertheless, he stayed with them off and on during the years, and Theo was always loving and supportive, even if he seemed a wee bit frustrated at times. "My dear Vincent," he writes, "it pains me to learn that you're not well. You must have worked too much, and that way forgotten to take care of your body as you should. What distresses me is that you're still in poverty because you can't stop doing things for others. I'd be very glad to see you being more selfish until you're on an even keel. Your loving brother, Theo." His paintings are now worth millions, but although he would have liked to support himself, that's not why Vincent painted them. He painted because he loved the beauty of the world and he wanted to honor God. By the time he died at age 37, Vincent was at the height of his power, painting 70 paintings in his last 75 days. Shortly after Vincent died, Theo did too. Even as she grieved, Theo's wife, Jo, collected all of Vincent's letters and drawings and paintings and worked tirelessly to promote his work and make the beginnings of the success that he became. I'm sure that Vincent's family and friends were often frustrated, annoyed, and sometimes fed up with him. I mean, the guy never even sold one painting, but they never gave up. They continued loving and supporting him even after he died, because Vincent died way too young, and even with all that love and support, it might be tempting to think, well, what was all that for? But really, was it useless? If it hadn't been for the people who loved and supported Vincent, we wouldn't even know about this great artist. And not only that, without that love and support, he might never have been able to create all that magnificent art. Can you imagine a world without Starry Night, sunflowers, a cafe at night? We have these paintings because Theo and Joe loved their brother and believed in him. Surely that is the kind of love that Paul is talking about when he tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, or your child, or parent, or friend, or boss, or any of the hundreds of people we might run into in any given week. Sorry, reading out loud is hard. As Vincent wrote, I'm always inclined to believe that the best way of knowing God is to love a great deal. Love that friend, that person, that thing, whatever you like, you'll be on the right path to knowing God more thoroughly. But you must love with a high, serious, intimate sympathy, with a will, with intelligence, and you must always seek to know more thoroughly, better, and more. That leads to God, and that leads to unshakable faith. And I want to turn now to gentleness. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and for good reason. I think gentleness is misunderstood and undervalued because it might suggest weakness to some. I would suggest that it's anything but. To be gentle takes self-control and discipline. And if we can have the slide, you will see my lovely grandson, who's also a Theo. My 2-year-old grandson, Theo, he loves trucks and cars and anything with wheels. And he's entranced by a small 3D birthday card that Thane got from our daughter-in-law, Gia. It has an image of a bus full of dogs and balloons. It's really much too fragile for a toddler. But Theo craves it every time he comes over. So he's learned that the only way he can do so is to touch it as gently as possible, even if it takes it. He longs to pull out those balloons and dogs from it. You can see the concentration and discipline that it takes for him to be gentle. It's the same for all of us. We can admire the fruits of the Spirit that Paul outlines, but we need more than admiration. We need to keep relearning and working on them many times. But we don't have to do it alone. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we live by the Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit. We must walk by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is to be consistently and consciously communicating with God, asking for guidance, and then following that guidance. When I feel anxious these days, I try to spend less time beating myself up for even thinking or having these feelings, and more time reminding myself that although I might be more Galatian than I would like to admit, that God can help me access the fruits of the Spirit, that I can pray or meditate or help someone or love my neighbor with gentleness. All these will help give me hope and structure during difficult times, and therein lies freedom. Know that you are beloved and gifted and called to take part in God's kingdom right now. We are free to discard what society tells us we need to be happy, that we need to buy stuff and look young and be rich and perfect. We are free to tell ourselves that the narratives we hear over and over again every day about what we must do or who, what we must have or who we have to be in order to be okay, those are not the true ones. The freedom we have in Christ is to know that we are already beloved and good enough and then to act accordingly. Do not submit to the stories the world tells you about what you must do in order to be okay. God's Spirit can guide us, strengthen us, and lead us into a life that honors God. The choice is ours. We must choose not once, but every day to walk with the Spirit, to live in a way that honors and reflects God's character. And if we need regular reminders of that, so be it. Let me end by reading a poem by John Riddell. I always have to get a poem in there. I can't make the world be peaceful. I can't stall tanks from roaring down roads. I can't prevent children from having to hide in bunkers. I can't convince the news to stop turning war into a video game. I can't silence the sound of bombs tearing neighborhoods apart. I can't turn a guided missile into a bouquet of flowers. I can't make a warmonger have an ounce of empathy. I can't convince diplomats to quit playing truth or dare. I can't deflect a sniper's bullet from turning a wife into a widow. I can't stave off a schoolyard being reduced to ash and rubble. I can't do any of that. The only thing I can do is love the next person I encounter without any conditions or strings. To love my neighbor so fearlessly that it starts a ripple that stretches from one horizon to the next. I can't force peace on the world, but I can become a force of peace in the world. Because sometimes all it takes is a single lit candle in the darkness to start a movement. O Spirit, let me be a candle of comfort in this world. Let me burn with peace. Amen, and happy Thanksgiving.
Marika, thank you. You may not have preached a sermon since you were a teenager, but it felt like that was a lifetime of wisdom condensed. And I don't think I'll ever hear gentleness again without thinking of Theo trying to be gentle with that card. That was brilliant, just brilliant. We're going to end with a favorite, beloved, familiar Thanksgiving hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Number 114, if you're looking in the hymnal, it'll be up here. And I invite you to stand for this one. And then remain standing for the benediction afterwards.
Spirit of God, go with us still. Spirit of God, lead us today. Spirit of God, your love makes us strong. Spirit of God, send us your power. Go in peace. Amen.